Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast, our second one of the week. It is a Thursday, football right around the corner. We're back at it. Joining me is Kyle Porter. Kyle, what's going on, man?
Not much. Was looking at some of our numbers for people listening to the podcast this August. We've been doing, I think this is our eighth or seventh maybe with Coop Ale Works as a sponsor, and a lot of people have been listening. It's been really encouraging. I'm excited. I'm excited for our future as a podcasting duo.
Yeah, I can't wait for once we have finally some games to talk about. I think that'll make the podcast even better. Just breaking down what happened, looking ahead to the next week. I think it'll jump up a level once we have some actual games to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, we're not like Cousin Sal and Simmons, but it's been fun. I mean, we did this for a year just, you know, for fun. So now it's like, hey, this is cool. It's a good thing.
No, yeah, we'll spice it up a bit. We'll have, you know, like some more different type of segments, I would believe, after games and stuff to kind of break down stats or players or whatnot. But
right.
Last week I kind of created a furor, Kyle.
Yes.
Last podcast.
Hold on. Let me set the table for you, and you can kind of have your moment. So you were talking about Justice Hill and that he went to Booker T. Washington in Tulsa, and I believe you kind of disparaged Booker T. Washington. So go ahead and give them the apology they're looking for.
Well, I mean, I'm the first to admit when I say stupid things, and that was, I was trying to explain the difference going from high school to college. That was my intent, and it sounded bad. I went back and listened to it, and I should have never even brought up Booker T. Washington. That was dumb to bring up, because listen to who they've had as alumni, Kyle. R.W. McCorders, 10 years in the NFL, one of the best college players at OSU, probably my favorite OSU player of all time. Felix Jones played about 10 years in the NFL, had a really good career at Arkansas. Robert Meacham played at Tennessee, had about 10 years in the NFL. So it's stupid to even bring up Booker T. Washington. That was not my intent. I was just saying going from high school to college and specifically trying to start ahead of three seniors. That was really where I was coming from with that. But it was dumb to bring up Booker T. I apologize to all the Booker T. alums, people that listened. It was just a throwaway comment that I really didn't mean any harm by, so.
Well,
here's non-football. Nate, our friend of the pod, Nate, tweeted me non-football players too. Wayman Tisdale, Eton Thomas, and Ryan Humphrey. Also,
well,
Booker
I
T.
mean, here's the thing though. Booker T. Washington would be like the 70th best 6A high school in Texas. So it's not, you know.
But it's stupid to even bring up Booker T. when you're talking about whether a guy can play or not or start. So it was dumb, and I at first I was taken aback by it, but the more I thought about it and I went back and listened to it, it was just a dumb thing to say.
Yeah,
so
a lot of blowback. At least you know people are listening. Like when they call you out for stuff, at least that means it.
Well, you know. And I'm not perfect. We're on the podcast. This is what, our 60 something episode. I'm going to say something stupid every now and then. So
yeah.
I'll throw that disclaimer out there now.
We've all been there. Okay, so we've got a couple more things we want to talk about. But before we do that, I want to talk about Coop Ale Works and what beers we're drinking. But I think we're going to do it a little different this time. We're going to call our guest and see which beers he drank at our live pod last week because he was there.
I like it.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, we're calling him right now.
Hello?
Evan?
Hey.
Are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
We got you, Evan.
You're on. You're live.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, hey.
No intro? You're just going to roll me in like that?
Well, I wanted to ask you, we're talking about our sponsor, Coop Ale Works, right now. What beer did you drink at our live pod a couple weeks ago?
Oh, what beer didn't I drink at the live pod a couple of weeks ago? No, the Oktoberfest is you can't beat that.
That's good.
Cannot beat their Oktoberfest. It's really good.
Yeah.
And it has the orange can. That helps.
Has the orange can, which helps. They gave me a cool shirt. Also helps. But I mean, y'all knew that was just a class act. Like Sean and the whole staff over there, like that, those are just really good people. They took care of us.
Yeah, man. We appreciate you coming by. Seeing you in
Thanks
person.
For inviting me. I didn't believe you guys were real for a second. I thought it was like an automated computer voice that I was talking to.
Well, Evan, you're hard to recognize nowadays. You're slim, you're trim, you got this professional haircut. You're looking more like a quarterback than an offensive lineman.
Don't tell people that. I don't want them to know I don't look like I used to look like. Just try to blend in with society and not scare anyone anymore.
Okay.
It's nice to be able to walk up a flight of stairs and not be out of breath.
I do have a question. So I've been watching all these videos, like preseason videos of guys Zach Crabtree and all these different linemen get interviewed, and they all say that they want to be. One of the questions they get asked: who on the team would you trade places with? And they all want to be Mason Rudolph. Can you give me the primary reason all these guys want to be Mason Rudolph?
Other than being a Division I quarterback, who, you know, first of all, he's a beautiful man. I have no problem saying that. And he's the man to be on campus. I mean, Oklahoma State is a cool place to go to school if you're just going to school. Can you imagine what it's like to be the king of the football team over there? Plus, and here's the real reason, is that the quarterbacks don't do anything during practice or workouts. And you could tell every single one of them I said this. Their lives are cake. Now, mentally, they have the hardest job. But as far as physical, come on.
Yeah, I mean, Mason has assumed the what I like to call the throne beneath the neon palm trees at Murphy's. That's where you want to be. You want to be the quarterback, just posted up there like many before him, like Clint Schelf, Zach Robinson. The list goes on and on. That's where you want to be.
No, I mean, but it's actually nice to see, and there's not a revolving door. It's nice to know that they have a guy. He's our guy. We know what he can do, and he's. You know, he had the leadership role last year, and since he's been here, you know, we knew that we wanted him to be the guy. But I feel like this is the one year, and just from following it loosely like I do now, it seems like he's kind of come into that role as the leader of the team and the guy that people can rally behind and vocal, but not overly so, and trust his guys, and they trust him. And that's the most exciting part about this season for me.
Well, yeah,
offensively.
It was interesting because I was listening to Crabtree talk the other day, and he was sounding very, very Evan Epstein like. He said he loves the guy behind him. He wants to do great things for the guy behind him. You know, that was straight out of your playbook. Are you go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I love listening to Crabtree speak. I mean, is there anyone on that team that has more passion or more like Oklahoma State blood in him than that offensive lineman? I mean, when he talks, you could just tell he loves his team, and I love listening to him speak about the O-line.
I was going to ask if you're buying, you know, a lot of people are selling that Oklahoma State's going to be a lot better on the offensive line this year. Are you buying that right now?
I'll buy it after the first game.
but can you tell
I'm a very tough critic.
But can you tell anything against Southeastern Louisiana?
Yeah, you can. You could tell how they play together. You can tell their assignments. You can tell effort. I mean, if we're up on them 100 points and, you know, the ones only play a quarter, yeah, it gets to be tough. But even then, that'll tell a picture because you'll get to see guys that normally won't play. You could see whether we have depth or not. If our twos are struggling against that team, you know, what's going to happen if God forbid, one of our ones goes down. So it'll tell a lot. And for some of those guys, like the left guard who hasn't – I don't think he started before, right? This is his first year starting, you know, to shake the willies out and start, you know, getting into it. So it's nice to see that they have some group cohesion. I mean, those guys have been playing together for a while now, and they've had their coach for, you know, a year. And I don't think there's any possible way we cannot be better than last year. I just don't think it's possibly worse. Than last year, and forgive me for saying that if those guys listen to me, but that's no fault of anybody's, but just new people, new system, new coach. You have to shake that stuff out, and all things considered, we had a pretty damn good season. So I think there's a lot to be excited about, but you guys know me, I'm a cynic and I'm very critical of my offensive linemen, and they know that when I see them. So, they wouldn't have it any other way.
Last time we talked to you, Evan, you were pretty high on Greg Atkins, the offensive line coach. Just how much better do you think they'll be just having him for another year and being under his tutelage?
Immensely. And, you know, listening to him speak and following him on Twitter, and I think I've only met him in person once maybe, and maybe I haven't if I remember correctly. But hearing the way those guys talk about him and seeing him do things that I've seen Wickline do, and not saying that Wickline's end-all, be-all offensive line coach, but Greg Atkins has always been one of those highly regarded guys, and I'm really glad that we have him, and I know those guys are too. And I talked to Zach quite a bit, and I trust his opinion of coaches because Zach's one of the hardest working kids I've ever met. I met him in high school. I worked out with him when he was in high school, and he outworked me when I was a senior in this workout we did. So if he, you know, if he trusts a guy and he knows the coach is going to get him better, I trust his opinion of that coach. And then it's so hard for a first year offensive line coach to come in and make a difference. And, you know, he did make a difference last year. It was better than the year before that when they gave up, you know, 50% sacks, it seemed like. And so this year, I'm really excited. I'm excited about this year more than I have been the last 2 years, just to see how well they've improved.
Who are you most excited to see? Carson and I were talking about this last week, and we both got different guys. Who's your guy that you're most excited about to see this year?
Specific player to watch?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to be religiously watching. I always watch Lundblad and Crabtree. I can't get out of the offensive line. Like, I just I don't watch. It kind of ruined football for me. I've watched so much film. I can't watch anything but the offensive line, it seems like. And I don't. Wide receiver catches a ball, and I'm like, cool, or nice run, awesome. I watch offensive linemen. That's just what I'm used to. So I really want to see how those guys have progressed, especially Brad. You know, with him being a smaller guy, I just want to see if, and I know Coach Glass got him right, and I know that he's going to do a great job for us. I mean, apart from just being such a smart kid, I mean, he was another guy I followed through high school. So it's kind of, it's really cool to see where he's at. He's on scholarship now, which is the greatest feeling ever. I think he's going to do a great job. So I'll be watching those two guys just about every play.
We have a bit of breaking news here. Mike Gundy has an app for your phone or iPad. Are you going to be downloading this, Evan? It's got some interesting things on here. I don't know if you have heard about this. I'm just now seeing it
on
Twitter.
Not.
I downloaded it. There's a Nike swag tab, and I just clicked on it, and it's got all the new uniforms and stuff. As an offensive lineman, are you kind of fired up for the new uniforms? I know you guys like to look good, too.
I think those uniforms are awesome. I mean, I got passed up. I've been jealous of their uniforms the last 2 years, you know, with chrome helmets. I never got chrome helmets and cool stuff like that. So I have had to I try to not pay attention to it because it fills me with, like, a deep jealousy. You know, our class, we were the first ones that we had the flat black, you know, in that year that we won the Big 12. We had the flat black helmets for the first time, and I remember all that stuff coming in, how exciting it was. So I know how excited those guys are. I mean, those are some pretty clean uniforms. So hopefully it makes them play.
Kyle, are you seeing
better.
This?
Yeah, I just jumped on Twitter. This is outrageous.
What, I'm not downloading it. Don't ask me to do it.
What is happening here? Mike Gundy has an app. This is hilarious.
No, I refuse to believe it.
Okay, Evan, I wanted to ask you. I can't even focus now. Speaking of Gundy, let's talk about the mullet. I mean, should he keep it? What's your opinion?
The sad part is, I feel like I'm in the minority here, and I'm glad that you've given me this platform to voice my opinion. The mullet is not okay. It needs to go. Apart from being atrocious and a terrible style, there's been better mullets. Levy Adcock had the greatest mullet of all time. Did anyone care at the time? No. That mullet needs respect. Mike Gundy's mullet, I love you, Mike, to death, but that is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. And it needs to go. And until he shaves that mullet off of his head, I will not download his app.
That's hilarious.
I guarantee you he doesn't care.
Yeah, it's like a hybrid mullet. It's like a spike flat top with a mullet just kind of surfacing in the back.
You know, if his, like, hair was curlier, like had some flow to it, it'd be cool. But it's like kind of just like straight, just kind of hangs there, lifeless.
Are you going to any games this year, Evan?
I want to go to as many as possible. I still have not bought season tickets, you know, because I'm on a student loan holdout. Until I'm done paying student loans for my two first years, I just can't bring myself to pay for season tickets. Mm-hmm. But you know me, I always find my way to go. I want to go to as many as possible. I know I'll go to at least two out of the first three. I want to go to Pitt. Definitely want to go to Tech. I'll probably go to more away games than home, actually.
Yeah, it should be fun. One thing. Sorry, I'm just.
Do I have to get on Twitter? I feel like I'm missing out. Well, let me jump on here.
Yeah, I can't get past this. One thing I wanted to ask you about, because this is something that I've thought about a lot, is in terms of depth on a football team. So I feel like one thing that gets kind of promoted, and especially amongst teams like Oklahoma State, is you got to have depth. It's important to be two deep, or Gundy's talked about the importance of being three deep. Is it better as, and I want to specifically talk about the offensive line here, is it better as an offensive line to have five just studs and really nobody behind them? Or do you want like seven or eight guys that are maybe not like superstars, but pretty good?
It depends on how well they know the system. In my day, we had a couple guys that were just world beaters. I mean, I got to play next to Lane Taylor, who's going to be in the NFL for 5 years for Green Bay, and then you had guys like me who were just, I was good at our system, because we were there forever. But I'm more inclined to say it's better to have five just straight up killers, because if one of those guys goes down, the guy who they bring up is going to be so scared of letting those guys down that he'll play better than he ever thought was possible. That's kind of what happened to Lane when he was a freshman. I mean, I remember that when he got brought up and started as a true freshman, or not a true freshman, he's a redshirt freshman. Coach Wick was like, "Hey, I need you to play better than you've ever played before in your life." And Lane was scared out of his mind. If he says anything otherwise, he's lying. But he went in there and he's sitting there playing next to Russell and Brady Bond and Andrew Mitchell and I forgot who, Noah Franklin, like massive scary guys. If you don't think Lane like found some kind of Super Saiyan strength to be a better player on that offensive line, you're crazy. So I think it's better to have, the best guys you possibly can. Depth in offensive line is a little different because in an ideal situation, you play with five guys and they play the whole game, right? Depth really helps in practice to give your guys a break. And it helps if someone goes down, but a well-coached offensive line unit can play with three good guys and two okay guys. You can almost play with two really good guys and three okay guys. As long as there's one person that knows what's going on, there's one person that can move people, you're going to be okay most of the time, from my experience.
And you played for Joe Wickline, like you mentioned. How much different is it, the system exactly, from what you're seeing now with Greg Atkins than Joe Wickline, just from like a layman's person's point of view? Like, is it that much different, or is it just the guys up front?
I know the blocking schemes are slightly different. I haven't really, done a film study on the pass protection. I mean, offensive line blocking is it's a pretty common, not common, the best way to block is widely known. So, I mean, he's teaching the same techniques that, Wick was teaching. When I say system, the offensive system, and in general, yeah, we are running the same thing. It's spread zone blocking. They do some more counter power stuff, which requires you to be a little bit more physical. But, when we're so desperate for the run game, like we have been the last couple of years, you kind of got to try anything.
One thing we've talked about a lot on here is Mason Rudolph's future. I want you to fill in the blank here. Mason Rudolph is a top blank pick in the NFL draft.
I don't even want to embarrass myself. I don't even know what quarterbacks are graded off of or how they even get drafted. I hope he just gets drafted and plays a long time. I'm sure if you asked him, he'd rather be a seventh round draft pick and play for 14 years and be a first round draft pick and play for three. But I think he's got a bright future regardless. He's a smart kid. He can throw the hell out of that ball. And, as long as he keeps on working on the mental aspect of it, he'll play in the NFL for a long time. He's an ideal build. So I wish him the best of luck. We need more guys in the NFL. We need more guys to stay in the NFL. And we don't have near as many as I think we should.
Do you think he's good enough to possibly, if he has a big year this year, to go to the NFL after his junior year?
Oh, yeah. If I were him, I wouldn't. I mean, yeah, of course. I think if he has a great year this year, there would be definitely someone that would want to take him. I just don't think that would benefit him. unless, you know, who knows what could happen. If he throws for like 8,000 yards and like a million touchdowns, yeah, dude, do it. You know, surprise everyone. He could have a breakout year. We don't know what's going to happen. So that's the thing with the NFL and who goes where. I mean, you can kind of, you know, it's evident to see what the best players in the country are. But when it, after that, you know, you never really know what's going to happen. You never know what one team likes over the other, what they value.
Yeah. Okay, so Evan, you recently moved from Dallas, where I was living, to Oklahoma City, where Carson is living.
Yes.
Have you been, has it been more fun to be around more Oklahoma State people or less fun to be around more OU people?
It's been more fun to be around more Oklahoma State people. I mean, I actually live in Norman right now. I'm moving. I'm sorry. I realize my mistake. I am moving. So, no, I love living in Oklahoma City. I mean, I was raised in Dallas. That's my hometown. But Oklahoma City to me has been like such a more manageable Dallas. I can get everywhere in 20 minutes, you know, and obviously there's an OU bias in the city or in the state in general, but it's nice to be closer to all the fans. I'm an hour away from games. Although, of course, now with American Airlines flying to Stillwater twice a week, Kyle, you should be able to get up here anytime. Pretty easy. But, no, it's been awesome. I've loved living up here. I'm glad I did it. But, yeah, I realized my mistake, and I am moving out of Norman. I got made fun of at a Norman Walmart for wearing an Oklahoma State shirt.
Wow.
There.
That's some irony right there.
Yeah, it got aggressive.
Yeah, I've lived in Oklahoma City, pretty much Edmond, Oklahoma City, my whole life. And when I went to San Francisco for the NBA playoffs, it really gave me a newfound appreciation for the traffic in Oklahoma City. Like you said, you can get anywhere in like 10, 15, 20 minutes flat, and San Francisco was a nightmare. But just what do you see this season playing out like, Evan, just from a season standpoint, a record standpoint? What are your expectations?
You know, like I said, I'm a cynic when it comes down. You guys know this in all of our conversation. I think there's three games that I could see us losing. And I think there's another two games that could go either way, depending on how those teams develop in the season. I don't like playing Texas Tech at the end of the season.
I don't
usually
either.
By that time they figured out how to score a million points on people. I don't like us going to TCU. You know, you never know what's going to happen at OU. I think Texas is going to surprise everybody and be really good this year. And same thing with West Virginia. You never know what Holgorsen's got up his sleeve. And they know, you know, that staff knows us better than any other staff in the Big 12. So there's five games, just looking at it, that I think could go either way. And that's obviously not knowing. I mean, who knows? I mean, we have a good team this year. I know that. It's just going to see who steps up. I think our offense is going to be better. If our defense keeps killing everybody, I think we'll be just fine. But, yeah, there's five games that I think I'll be nervous about.
Yeah. Who knows what Dana Holgorsen does have up his sleeve? Like, it could literally be anything. Like, he could actually have stuff in his sleeves.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you never know. Play calls, weird signs.
Red Bulls.
Just falling out of his pants. Yeah, you never know. And plus, and that's another thing, like Texas Tech, you know, we've got him as the fifth Big 12 game. I mean, teams like West Virginia, Texas Tech, there's so much. It's just nicer to play him earlier because he seemed like they haven't figured it out yet. Because their offenses are very fine-tuned, very high power. It takes them a few games to kind of get rocking and rolling, especially when they have new guys roll in. So in Texas Tech, third to last game, I don't like that at all. At least it's at home.
Yeah. That's a good point.
You know,
I've been riding the roller coaster all August. At first I thought we were going to go, you know, 5-7. Now I'm thinking 11-1. Like, I'm just all over the place.
That's bold. No, I mean, and that's been the kind of beauty and curse of Oklahoma State football. You know, we're not the powerhouse yet. We're not. It's going to take some years, some very dominant years, for people to think that we're by far the best team in the Big 12. When they think of the Big 12, they think about us. We're just not there. But we have a good enough team to be undefeated. And we also have a team that could lose, you know, could go 5-7. And that's the beauty of being an Oklahoma State fan, is having heart attacks every single week. Like last, I mean, who knew we were going to do as well as we did last year? If you watched any of our football games, I thought we were going to lose every game. I died at least 6 times last year. So hopefully it's going to be a little bit easier on my heart this year. But you're absolutely right. We could easily go either way, which is terrifying and exciting all at the same time.
It certainly is. Okay, we'll get you out of here on this. We've talked a lot about expansion, future of the Big 12. I guess my question to you, having played in the Big 12, do you want it to stick around, or are you kind of ambivalent if it disbands?
I don't know why it would disband. I mean, we're one of the best. I think we're the second best conference, you know, one of the top 3 best conferences in football. You know, obviously Power 5, there's only really 4 major ones, in my opinion. I think they should expand.
Shots fired at the ACC right there.
I hate the ACC. They're a joke. I think we could beat any team in the ACC. And most of the teams in the Pac-12 and most of the teams in the Big 10. I really do. I think the Big 12 is probably the second best conference in football. And that's not bias. It's just what I think, and playing against teams from those conferences. But no, I would like to see them expand. I don't think that they should expand into Texas. I don't think that adding Houston or SMU does anything for us. I don't think that going east to give West Virginia a travel buddy does anything for us. There's nothing out there that we need. If I was going to put 2 extra teams to get it back to 12 to where we can have a championship, I'm going either BYU, Boise, or Colorado State. Colorado State's been playing really, really good football the last few years. BYU has always played really solid football. And Boise State, you know what they can do when they're playing good football. You haven't heard too much out of them lately. So, I mean, I would go Colorado State, BYU. And I think that brings us out the right way, going west, which gives us the ability to get more into California as a whole. And those are solid football teams that I think could add some value. We got TCU from the Mountain West. You know, why not get Colorado State? Why not get BYU? It's independent. You know, they play good teams every year, and they go, you know, BYU is a good football team. And so is Colorado State. Last few years, they've really surprised me, played really good ball. So I think that's where we get value from. SMU, Houston's not going to do anything for us. And then there's Eastern Carolina. And it comes down to recruiting. Why should we split up our recruiting? You know, why should we give Houston or SMU, that's in Dallas and Houston, you know, a Big 12 sticker to tout to recruits? I know it sounds kind of ruthless, but it's true.
Yeah.
And, you know, Houston's a good football team. And if they weren't in Houston, I would say absolutely. But they are. And SMU, I just don't think, is a good football team at all. And they would get trashed by just about everybody in the Big 12.
I'm with you.
That's my opinion. I like either of those 3 teams, and I think that gives us value and pushes us in the right direction as far as recruiting, and gets us back up to 12 teams like it used to be. A Big 12 with 12 teams and a championship game is fun. That's what everyone wants. So I don't know why they don't do it.
Yeah. Okay, well, hey, Evan, we appreciate your time, man. I'm looking forward to – we want to throw you in kind of the regular rotation when the season comes around. I'm looking forward to calling you after, like, the Central Michigan game when Oklahoma State runs for 470 yards, and you're like, well, the line just didn't get it done. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with them.
Well, no, I would never say that. I mean, I'm not just cruel. I'm just, I'm a hard critic. I'm a hard critic. It's okay. No, I mean, I love talking to you guys. Anytime you want me on, I'm there. Just as long as Carson's schedule is okay, I'll clear any meetings. You know, my boss is actually a big fan of your podcast.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, awesome.
So you have a UNT booster listens to your podcast religiously. So there you go, guys.
Wow.
Let's just add them to the Big 12.
Yeah, you deserve some time off, I think. Tell your boss you deserve a few weekends off to go watch some football or some vacation.
Yep. Yep. Patrick, do you hear that? He'll listen to it. So, no, I appreciate it, guys. I love talking to you. So anytime you need me to give you hot takes that everyone probably thinks is ridiculous and crazy, I'm here for you.
I love it, man. I love it. And thanks again for coming to our live pod. That was a blast.
Oh, no, thanks for thanks for letting me know about it. It was awesome. It's good to meet you guys in person finally. So hopefully we can do that again sometime.
For sure. For sure. Okay, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
All right. See you, Evan. Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Lots to talk about, but let's hear real quick from our sponsor. All right, listeners, have you heard the scoop about Coop? Oklahoma's signature craft brewer, Coop Ale Works, is now available at retailers in Arkansas, Kansas, Nebraska, and North Texas. And Cowboy fans in Kansas City, Missouri can grab a pack of Coop starting Labor Day weekend. Enjoy a fresh F5 IPA, my personal favorite, a native amber, elevator wheat, or horny toad blonde when you ask for Coop by name at your favorite store or bar. No matter where you roam, Coop pairs well with the Pokes. Okay, that was fun.
He's a regular.
Yeah.
He's a recurring guest.
My favorite thing that he said was, it's not a bias, it's just what I think.
I kind of respect him for coming after the mullet.
He came after the mullet. He just
in the offensive line.
He sent a nuclear missile at the ACC that produced Clemson and Florida State last year.
Clemson looked pretty good last year.
Yeah, Clemson was good. That was terrific. I love his takes.
I love his pride in the Big 12.
Yeah, and I thought what he said about the depth on a team was super interesting, and I think it's sort of what you've seen at Oklahoma State in the past, is that like you don't have to have these super duper stars as long as they know what they're doing and can work well together. And I don't know, I just sometimes I get worried because I think that OSU fans or whatever are like, oh, we're so deep at receiver, and it's like, well, okay, that's fine, but like, who are you going to when it's 4th and 7? You know, you got a guy like, and they do, but I just think that depth maybe doesn't matter as much as some people think.
Well, I think I will say this about the depth: OSU used to not have it, and now they do. Like for instance, last year when Ryan Simmons got hurt,
yeah,
well, they have a Chad Whitener,
yeah,
and he played awesome like that. Years ago, if their middle linebacker gets hurt, they're done. Like they're screwed. So
well, and it does, to your point, it matters specifically as it relates to injuries. I think I'm just more like right now the depth chart at running back, it's four guys that are literally on the depth chart. It says or, and it's like, well, okay, all right, does that mean any of them are good, or are they just all like kind of average like they were last year? So
right, good, but good, not great, as Mike Gundy would say.
Yeah.
I got a busy night tonight, Kyle.
Yeah, you do. I want to talk about that. You're throwing out the first pitch. How did this come about?
Oh, they've had several of our Channel 5 people throwing out the first pitch at Dodgers games. I think our promotions department set that up. Damon Lane, our weatherman, threw it out, and he did horribly. And I compared his pitches to some of the worst of all time with like 50 Cent and Carly Rae Jepsen. Like I showed his like butted up on video against those, and I had a lot of fun thinking that I didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
And then I found out like 2 weeks ago or 2 weeks later that I had to throw out the first pitch. So
I've got a lot of questions. First of all, can we GIF it and put it on the site?
Sure.
Okay. Good.
It's gonna be aired on Channel 5. It's gonna be on Twitter. Good or bad, it will be out there, and you can GIF it, and you can keep it open in a tab for a while for comedy's sake.
Second of all, what's your warm-up routine? Like, what are you going to do beforehand?
Well, I hope I get to warm up. You know, I got to go live at 6:20, and the first pitch is at 6:50, so it gives me a window to warm up, but I don't know if, like, can I just walk out to, like, the bullpen in the outfield and just, like, grab a catcher and, like, let's go, let's get warm. I don't know. I don't know what clearances my pass will get me. I don't know if I can get in the bullpen or not.
I'm pretty sure that's not how it works. Did you see Katie Ledecky throw out the first pitch the other day?
I did. I already got Ledecky'd. this is terrible for me. But here's the really cool thing, Kyle. I went to college with Corey Brown. We've talked about him on the podcast before.
Oh, is he playing?
He's playing for the Dodgers. He's there.
Wow.
And I'm going to interview him for my show, and I'm going to ask him for some pointers because he and I hung out a ton in college, and it's going to be fun to kind of reconnect with him. So I'm going to ask him for some pointers, some do's, some don'ts, and I might even ask him to have a game of catch before the show, but the chances of that happening probably pretty low.
To have a game of catch, you sound like you're like just moved here from like Scotland or something.
Have you ever watched Field of Dreams? You probably haven't, have you?
Yeah, no, I have.
He said, you want to have a catch.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
How you say it.
That's true.
Speaking of, I've been practicing with my dad in the backyard.
This whole thing is just I've still got just so many questions. Do you throw it from the rubber, or are you, by the way, the thing I was going to say, Corey Brown, we might have talked about this on here, best baseball player I've ever been on the same field with. I don't understand how he did not make it to the, I mean, he did make it, but how he did not make it long term in the majors.
He's been up and down. He's kind of in that tweener zone where he's like too good for AAA.
Yeah.
But can't quite stick on the roster at the majors.
Yeah, and he's not that young anymore. I mean, he's our age, but he's not like young for baseball.
for an athlete, yeah. He just cranked a grand slam there. I think he has like 21 home runs this year. But you're right. I remember watching him at OSU and being like that guy's a 10-year major league baseball player.
He's unbelievable.
Here's a fun fact about Corey Brown, real quick. He played receiver in high school. He's from Tampa, Florida, actually. He had more receiving yards his senior year than his teammate Mike Williams who played at USC. He had more receiving yards than him.
Well, him and a couple other guys put together a flag football team, and this is when we were in school, and they just murdered everybody. I mean, it was and they finally they got, because you weren't allowed to be an actual D1 athlete and play flag football. And so they finally got kicked out or whatever, but it was hilarious how good they were. And they just rolled out there on Tuesday nights, you know, they didn't even, you know, whatever.
Yeah. That was not fair.
No.
Like I said, he had more receiving yards than the USC Mike Williams, who went five in the draft.
Unbelievable. Are you going to throw from the rubber or in front of the mound?
Well, apparently there's a groundskeeper guy who won't let you on the mound.
Wow.
And he literally will not let you go up there. He guards it like he's guarding the Pentagon.
What are you going to do to it? I mean, you've got tennis shoes on.
Yeah, you know, it's major league. You know, it's professional. I guess they don't want me messing up the dirt. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's good for me, Kyle. That throwing from the mound would be a boss move, but it also would decrease my odds of hitting the glove. So.
So what do you? I mean, what's the goal here? You just want to reach the catcher. You want to? Are you going to try to hum one in there?
Well, no, in my backyard, me and my dad, we marked it off, you know, the mound's 60 feet. So we marked off about 50 feet, and the first few throws are never so good. So I'm going to sacrifice speed for placement. I'm going to go Greg Maddux instead of Randy Johnson.
That's a good idea.
I'm going to place it, but I'm at risk of throwing kind of like a floater, or my motion won't look as impressive that way. But if you hit the glove, who cares, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you basically don't hit the backstop, who cares?
Right. That's my goal is for the catcher to not have to stand up and for me to not hit the backstop. Those two things are key.
I think your goal should just be to be better than Mason Rudolph. Do you remember his first pitch in the spring?
Oh my, yeah. See, now I can have an excuse.
Yeah, it was real bad.
It was one of the worst ones ever, now that I remember it. Yeah.
It goes like 50 Cent and then Mason Rudolph.
Right, it does. And then if I do horribly, I can say, hey, look, I have a cannon like Mason Rudolph. We can't control the baseball, you know?
And then at the other end of that, I sent you the video of George Bush, W, throwing out.
With all the circumstances involved, that has to be the greatest first pitch of all time.
Oh, no doubt. It was the first, no, it wasn't. It was the World Series in 2001. After the 9/11 attacks, and George Bush went out there and just basically gave a big, you know, F you to the terrorist groups that
from the mound.
Yeah, it was
with a bulletproof vest on.
And there's a great video. My favorite part of all this, and we were kind of talking about it last night on Twitter, if people saw it, but he was warming up underneath Yankee Stadium beforehand, and Derek Jeter saw him and, you know, came up to him and said, hey, don't bounce it. They'll boo you if you bounce it. And I was like, it's such a hilarious, cool moment at such an important, I mean, Jeter's about to play in the World Series. Bush is in this bulletproof vest, you know, scared of what's going to happen or whatever. I mean, it was just a really neat moment.
Yeah. That's like an all-time line right there. And it probably broke the ice for everybody too.
Yeah.
That's a classic. So we'll see if can Katie Ledecky it? Can George W. it? But it's going to be out there, so I got to deliver. It's going to be on Twitter. It's going to be on the news.
I'm more excited about this than I should be.
Yeah, and luckily for me, Kyle, it's Thirsty Thursday, so most people will be in the beer. They'll be in the beer line. They won't be watching, so I don't think the crowd will be as packed as normal.
Yeah,
so.
That's good. Okay, we got two more things I want to talk about. You put this out there on Twitter. Oregon has a new facility. Is that correct?
Yes, the Marcus Mariota ungodly, unholy shrine.
And they've got just all manners of gloves and shoes and uniforms. And I mean, it's just unbelievable.
I'm not even sure like what it's for.
I don't know either.
It's the performance center. So I guess it's like a training facility, but it's unholy.
Yeah.
And there's levels to facilities. We talk about how great OSU's are. Nobody can hold a candle to Oregon.
I mean, it's just, I was thinking about this after you put that out there. It's not the amount of money that they spend on like uniforms and stuff. I feel like they get more bang for their buck than you do with other stuff. I feel like people obsess over, I mean, we talk about it all the time, over uniforms and everything, and it's not compared to other stuff that you can do to your campus, your facilities, your football program, it's not that expensive compared to a lot of other stuff. So I feel like it's actually smart in a lot of ways. And now they've got, I mean, obviously they have Nike like kind of subsidizing it or whatever, but I just feel like it's a really smart long-term investment into your program.
Oh, it's made Oregon, it's helped make Oregon what it is. Obviously coaching has helped, the facilities help just as much, but that branding, the uniforms and everything is how they got noticed, and it's why they're one of the best programs in the country now. I do wonder, though, like how much more they spend on just strictly football uniforms than like OSU does. You know what I mean? I know it's got to be more, but I just wonder how much more.
I think you can. I know you can look up Oklahoma State's. I don't know. I presume Oregon's is public information as well. But yeah, that would be really interesting to find out.
Yeah, so we're having a live pod again.
Last thing, live pod next Thursday. Big guest. Very, very excited.
Number 11, Zach Robinson, going to join us in Dallas.
Yeah.
At the where are we having it at, Kyle, exactly?
It's the World of Beer in Arlington. It's actually very close to AT&T Stadium where the Cowboys play.
Okay.
So if you live in the DFW area, if you live in Dallas or Fort Worth, it's we wanted to make it kind of central to both of those locations. It's probably about 30 minutes from each one, depending on traffic. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm fired up about it.
Yeah. The one in Oklahoma City was a success. So having Zach will be big time. I can't wait.
Yeah.
That's next Thursday, September 1st. It'll be from about 6 to 9. The podcast will probably get started when around 7:30.
Yeah. We'll put out a blog post on it for sure in terms of time. I think I'll do that either today, Thursday, or tomorrow, Friday. But yeah, Zach's excited. He said that he always enjoys talking football with us. So it should be a good time. That's opening night. I think South Carolina is playing against South Carolina that night. So
inter squad scrimmage on Thursday.
It should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
I can't wait. And just thanks to Coop and everybody that has helped putting it on. I'm going to Grand Lake this weekend, Kyle. It's my last kind of weekend off before football starts.
Well, enjoy it. Turn the phone off and enjoy some downtime before we get cranking next week.
And I'm taking all my Coop with me for my friends. So
that's good. I love
it. Taking the truckload with me.
That's great.
I'll need to reload in Dallas.
Put out the siren. Put out the alert right now.
And I'll be sure and tweet you the link to my first pitch tonight.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
All right, man.
Talk to you later.
See ya.